are listening to the Eurofolk Radio Network at eurofolkradio.com. And now, it's the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show with your host, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Hello, everybody, and one thing to let you all know, if you want a bit of a stress-free life, do not be a radio show host. I had a couple of guests lined up for today, but I can't seem to locate them. I think that they're still on the road, Pastor Eli and Pastor Steve. And the funny thing is last week I broadcast Dr. Eric Karlstrom, and I was planning to get back to him to offer him another date. And I didn't get round to it yesterday or the day before, so I was definitely going to do it today. And, of course, I've got no guests. I saw that he was online, so I'm delighted at very short notice that he's able to record today. So I'm going to bring up my friend Eric right now. Eric, are you with me?
I'm with you, Andy.
Excellent.
Good to talk to you.
Well,
woke up.
Thank you so much for stepping in. And Eric's not only stepped in, but he's come up with an idea of topic for the show, because I was really out on a limb here, folks. But what we've got for you is what's known as, and I hadn't heard of this, to be honest, the Milgram experiment. And I've just gone to the Wikipedia page about this, so I've only just found out about it. And I'm going to read the three-paragraph introduction from the Wikipedia page and then bring Eric in. This is what it says. The Milgram experiment on obedience to authority figures was a series of social psychology experiments conducted by Yale University psychologist Stanley Milgram. They measured the willingness of study participants, men from a diverse range of occupations with varying levels of education, to obey an authority figure who instructed them to perform acts conflicting with their personal conscience. Participants were led to believe that they were assisting an unrelated experiment in which they had to administer electric shocks to a learner. These fake electric shocks gradually increased to levels that would have been fatal had they been real. The experiment found, unexpectedly, that a very high proportion of men would fully obey the instructions, albeit reluctantly. Milgram first described his research in a 1963 article in the Journal of Abnormal and Social Psychology, and later discussed his findings in greater depth in his 1974 book, Obedience to Authority, An Experimental View. The experiments began in July 1961 in the basement of Lindsley Chittenden Hall at Yale University. 3 months after the start of the trial of German Nazi war criminal Adolf Eichmann in Jerusalem, Milgram devised his psychological study to answer the popular contemporary question, could it be that Eichmann and his million accomplices in the Holocaust were just following orders? Could we call them all accomplices? The experiment was repeated many times around the globe with fairly consistent results. So there's the mainstream overview of the Milgram experiment. What can you tell us about it, Eric?
Yeah, well, you know, I've got these five websites, and let me just refer to them. The one we'll be referring to now is gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, and another one, 911nwo.com, another one, naturalclimatechange.org, and another one, sanluisvalleywaterwatch.com, and then my music site is erickarlstrom.com. And on my gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com site, I've got a whole series of subheadings there, and over on the far right is audio and video, and where I have YouTubes and whatnot with my commentary sometimes. And one of the posts there is called Weaponized Psychology, Milgram's Obedience to Authority Experiments, 1962 to 63, Abu Ghraib and Organized Stalking, 9 YouTubes and articles, and an article. And so I've been very interested, in my research to look at the connection, for instance, between the CIA and the psychology profession, certainly with the MK Ultra mind control experiments. They weaponize psychology to an extraordinary degree. And of course, weaponized psychology is used in gang stalking. The Stasi used it in East Germany, the Soviets to a lesser extent, the Cheka also used it, but the Germans really perfected it, the Stasi. But the Americans have as well. And the MK Ultra program, mind control program, which is really still running, although officially it shut down in the 70s under the Church Committee hearings, Senate hearings, they went underground. But the CIA has been figuring out how to deceive and manipulate people for a long time. And so this kind of goes back to a quote that that keeps kind of ringing around in my ears. This is from a 19th century robber baron, one of the top four robber barons in America in the 19th century. His name was Jay Gould. So he would have been right up there with the Rockefellers and the Harrimans and the Carnegies. And he would have been an agent of the Rothschild. And Gould is, of course, a very Jewish name. And Stanley Milgram, of course, is also a Jew. So Gould said, I can pay one half of the working class to kill the other half. Okay, that sweet guy, you know. Well. So what is the motivation? What's the mentality behind that? Well, again, if we know that he's a Rothschild agent and a Jew, then we might have an inkling then that the goal is to steal everything from everybody. And so how are you going to do that? Well, you're going to divide and conquer so that, you know, Gould express the vision so that, you know, we can pit the people against each other. We can get the Goyim to kill each other. Well, this is very much what the prime minister of Malaysia said in 2003. He said Jews rule the world by proxy. They get others to do their killing and dying for them. Well, so let's look at a little bit about how they've accomplished this psychologically. And I think the Milgram experiment is very instructive. Again, Stanley Milgram is a small Jewish guy from New York. And, you know, he wrote this book, Obedience to Authority, after he did this series of experiments. Let me just read you my introduction to this post I've got on weaponized psychology. Dr. Stanley Milgram was a Jewish psychology professor at Yale who devised a highly unethical experiment that measures how far people will go to hurt others when they are under the direction of an authority figure. The experiment was unethical in that it employed actors who intentionally deceived and manipulated the subjects or the experimentees. So the basic premise of the experiment was itself a lie, a trick. So let me try to explain that a little bit better. Okay, in the experiment, There's, of course, the experimenter who is, you know, behind the glass. Picture MK Ultra, you know, mind control experiment, you know, where you've got the professor and the CIA guy behind the glass. They're hidden, but they can see what's going on. And then you've got two actors and a experimental subject. One actor has got a white lab coat. He's the authority figure, the professor or something. And then he's standing behind a guy who's working a whole bunch of electrical knobs or knobs at an electrical console or something like that. And then there's a guy below them, separated by another glass, who is an actor who's playing the role of a student. And supposedly the experiment is set up to show the effect of negative reinforcement on learning. It was a spoof on this in the movie Ghostbusters, but this was a very real experiment. And so the setup, and it's very highly unethical because the actor authority figure is telling the subject, the guy with the electrical consoles, okay, if the guy gets an answer wrong, I'll ask him a question. If he gets it wrong, you administer a shock, and I'll tell you at what level. So, you know, 5 volts, 10 volts, 15 volts, 30 volts. And the guy who is the experimental subject thinks he's actually administering the shock. And the student down there is, again, an actor. He's pretending to be, you know, that to be hurt. And so what they find out is that under the influence of the authority figure, the subject is willing to shock the student up to 450 volts, even knowing that 450 volts will likely kill the subject or kill the student because they have a heart condition or something like that. So it's a very deceptive, it's a manipulated situation to see how far this subject will go to obey the authority figure. So let me just continue reading here. Oh, said the whole setup was a lie and a trick that suckered this experimental subject to make these shocks. Milgram's finding was that about 65% of people are willing to torture and even kill others when they are obeying orders. Obviously, this result is of tremendous interest to dictators and our managers. And Milgram published his results in a book entitled Obedience to Authority. Thus, it appears that civilian society is composed of 65%+ lemmings who have no conscience whatsoever, or very little, or can that conscience can be easily overcome by authority, and only 35% or so or less who think and have enough internal integrity and morality to resist the authority figure. This experiment also obviously has direct bearing on global organized stocking operations. Today, gang stalking perpetrators are manipulated into performing inhuman actions against others, just as Milgram manipulated his subjects in 1962. Both Milgram's experiments and organized stalking deploy actors and deceptive tactics. And of course, in gang stalking, they tell the perps that, okay, we've got this person under suspicion. This is a potential terrorist threat, so we need you to do this. And by the way, we'll pay you some money to do that. So it's very much the same scenario as the Milgram experiment, now writ large across the whole world. And now we have this gigantic system of stalking and electronic harassment, electronic torture, by which civilians are attacking and torturing each other, again, under false pretenses. The pretense is, okay, the guy we're going after is a terrorist. Well, he's not a terrorist, but this is probably an innocent civilian, like myself, who got on somebody's, bad list or terrorist watch list or Marine Corps list or red list or whatever you want to call it. These have been around for a long time. And these are the people the government wants to dispose of. So then the government tricks these fellow citizens into actually doing the dirty work for them, pulling lots of criminal types into the system. People, we'll let you go on parole. We'll let you out of jail if you'll cooperate with us. And we'll give you this cell phone and you'll have an app for your cell phone and you just follow instructions. And you go where we want you to go and you do what we want you to do. Yes, sir. And we'll pay you, $30 an hour or $20. Yes, sir. So this is what's going on now, but it's all based on this deception and manipulation of people on the basis of false pretenses. Say, one can speculate again that the organized stalking itself may be based at least partly on the Milgram experiment. Today, every military branch has psychological operations groups or POGs that deploy these kinds of deceptive techniques against, quote, targets in the civilian population. This is called psychological warfare. But clearly the chief psychopaths are Milgram, elite politicians, bureaucrats, intelligence agencies, the psychologists, the military, and the people that they dupe into fulfilling their objectives, which is to eliminate, to harass, and destroy innocent civilians who have constitutionally guaranteed civil liberties. So what's going on is highly illegal. It breaks many, many laws. It breaks 4 out of the 10 commandments, 8 out of the 10 Bill of Rights, and many, many laws. We could have a future program about all the laws that are broken by this extremely criminal system. Gang stalking is a criminal felony in all states, and it goes up to murder if the target commits suicide, which of course is one of the main goals of the program, is to get the target to commit suicide and kill himself. Stanley Milgram summarizes his findings as from the preface to Obedience to Authority, quote, the person who with inner conviction loathes stealing, killing, and assault may find himself performing these acts with relative ease when commanded by authority. Behavior that is unthinkable in an individual who is acting on his own may be executed without hesitation when carried out under orders. Alan Watt, YouTube number 7 below, and I've got like 9 YouTubes on this post alone, offers this observation. Milgram's book, Obedience to Authority, portrays a society that can be manipulated to do anything whatsoever, believe anything whatsoever, by training, just like an animal. This goes back, of course, to the Russian Pavlov and Pavlov's dog, and Lenin, who exploited Pavlov's psychological findings, viewing human beings as completely mechanistic, materialistic objects with no soul, with no importance, just like a material thing. Most of the psychologists, going back to the quote, most of the psychologists who are doing the experimentation on the public are psychopaths themselves. This is Alan Watt. About 30% of the psychologists are Jewish. About 30% of psychologists are Jewish. Indeed, due to the overwhelming number of Jews involved in the formative stages of the science of psychology, it is often, or the pseudoscience, I should say, of psychology, it is often referred to as the Jewish science. It is also often referred to as a pseudoscience. So I've got the following post, the most dramatic unethical study I've ever the most dramatic unethical study ever, Professor Philip Zimbardo on the Milgram experiment. And then next one, the Milgram experiment by Stanley Milgram, 1962 full documentary. Next one, Obedience to Authority, the Milgram experiments, part two. Next one, Stanley Milgram, the agentic state. Well, now you can get all these people to do all these acting roles. They can be crisis actors. They can be surveillance role players. They get money. And this is the society we live in now, Andy, where as somebody like myself, who is in this electronic concentration camp, more or less imprisoned, wherever I go, because they can track me and they've got all this data on me and they've done the psychological profiling on me and, of course, millions of others. And what they can do then is set up all these psi acts or psychological attacks on a daily basis. And if you're in a big city, you know, God help you, because they can just, they can overwhelm you, swarm you with all these perps, you know, 50, 100 psi acts a day to drive you crazy, because that's what they want to do. And then the whole thing is set up so that if you complain of what happened, you know, oh, I'm hearing voices in my head, from the voice to skull, or the, you know, synthetic telepathy or microwave hearing or whatever you want to call it, which they, you know, had perfected in 1974, by the way. Or I'm being followed by 100 people. If you say those things to the psychologist, well, the psychologist will look under the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual number 5, which, of course, they write for political purposes mostly, and they say, well, this person is schizophrenic, delusional, paranoid. Better put him in, you know, an institution. And if he's judged incompetent, well, then, you know, he's a ward of the state and we'll take his property. So this is a real good way. And, of course, the Soviets did this. This was the psychiatric reprisal of the Soviet Union for all those years. So anytime they wanted to just do away with enemies, you know, they could send them to the gulag. They could kill them off, as we know happened to perhaps one of the largest genocides in world history in the Soviet Union, carried out by the communist Jewish Bolsheviks and their team. 66 million white Christians killed over about a 70-year period. But anyway, yeah, so this psychiatric reprisal, this combination of the state and psychiatry is a deadly combination. So then the next one I have is how they, quote unquote, they turn family members against you. This is by a targeted individual. Next, and then the filmmaker says, the point is, if we are faced with metaphysical evil, which we are here, which is manipulating and lying in your face, what will you choose, uncomfortable truth or convenient lies? This defines you. Okay, the next one, and then the next one is how they turn family members against you. Part two, targeted individual Milgram experiment results can be used in gang stalking demonstrations. I'll talk about that in a minute. And then this guy, Philip Zimbardo, talks about the psychology of evil. He's the guy who set up the Stanford research experiment. He must be another Jew, in which he got students at Stanford acting the roles of prison wardens and prisoners. And what he found was that, you know, again, you're doing these scenarios, you're doing these scripts. And what he found was that the prison guards started hating the prisoners and, you know, just abusing them horribly. And so you are able to divide the people that way. And these are just all regular students who just happen to be chosen as a guard or a prisoner. And then the next one is the relevance of the Stanford prison experiment to Abu Ghraib, two studies in human nature. And then finally, Alan Watt, who's a good commentator from Canada, obedience to authority and the absurdity of the trained majority. So there's the kind of the basic outline of this topic. Andy, would you like to jump in and make a comment or a question or something like that?
Well, what I will say is, if you can get me the page, I'll include that in the post for the show so that people can look through, because of course you've got some YouTubes and stuff in there as well that I'm sure a lot of the listeners would like to see. And I mean, it's it's astonishing the way that things seem to be going. And it's the manner in which there's no sense of, and this is what I've always struck me about gang stalking. I couldn't in good conscience, it didn't matter what they paid me, I couldn't go around, you know, surreptitiously harming individuals for money that I'm told need to be harmed, because I'd know it was illegal for a start, because you'd be like, well, if they've done something wrong, then they're going to be arrested and they're going to be charged and they're going to go to court and they're going to get a jury and then the outcome will be discovered. But to actually be paid by an organisation to actually harm someone and be told, oh, you're going to be fine, we'll look after you, etc. It just goes to show not just the unethical nature of these people, but the unethical nature of our times, that so many people are involved in this. I mean, have you ever taken an estimate of how many people are involved in gang stalking for this New World Order system? I mean, I don't imagine how you would be able to, because of course it's happening in countries all around the world, not just your own, Eric.
Yeah, I have tried, Andy. I've got a couple of posts where I've tried. That was a couple of years ago when I was trying to put some numbers on this, but certainly they are estimates. You know, and I would estimate that the number of targets or targeted individuals or targeted citizens is certainly probably at least maybe 1% of the population in America, maybe 3.2 million. And then worldwide, probably, you know, but then Preston James, PhD, who is a writer for Veterans Today, estimates over 10 million targets in the United States. And then, okay, how many, if you've got, and then we'll have to extrapolate to the world, but if you've got 10 million targets in the United States, targeted individuals who've been isolated or flagged with all the metadata spying of the NSA, and then this data has been processed at the Department of Homeland Security and FBI fusion centers, and people are, you know, if you see something, say something in your community, neighborhood watch, the names are fed into these fusion centers, and then you have these analysts, these terrorism liaison officers, who are generally first responders, like firemen, et cetera, cops, whatnot, and they're going through and trying to figure out, you know, which of your neighbors needs to be targeted and put on this terrorism watch list, which seems to have, according to some, 3 million or more on it. But that's not the only watch list. I mean, we have the no-fly list, and we have the main core list, which goes back to the 80s. And of course, Nixon had his enemies list. But it's all to take out political enemies of the government under the phony cover story of terrorism. But what you see, of course, is the government now is the terrorist. And these perps that you're talking about on the ground level, what they're doing is terrorism. They are the terrorists. So there's this gigantic lie. Just much like the Milgram experiment, the whole thing is based on deception and manipulation. And so, you know, while Milgram would say, okay, this shows that people are evil. Well, it shows that you're evil, Stanley Milgram, because you have manipulated these people into a position where they are willing, or apparently willing, to hurt each other and damage each other. You fooled them. And so, again, going back to Jay Gould, how are you going to get half the people, the working class, to kill the other half? Well, you fool them. You manipulate them. You deceive them with very, very advanced psychological techniques. Now, I'll give you an example. In some of these YouTubes, you see actually little street theater skits that some people have filmed. And one of them, this guy is posing as an FBI agent, is walking around an agricultural market, you know, just an open air market in a nice little town in California. And he goes up to a lady, says, well, you know, can you help me, lady? And he shows the badge, you know, saying that it's phony badge, but he says, I'm FBI. And there's a lady in there who stole a baby. And you see that lady with a stroller there, and that baby, that's not her baby. Would you help me? Would you go in there and take that baby and bring it out here? And the lady does it. Well, of course, the guy, the FBI guy, is lying through his teeth. He has just manipulated this woman to go steal a woman's baby. I mean, can you imagine? And this is the kind of deception that now is just rampant in the United States, and I'm sure elsewhere, you know, with all these crisis actors that are paid to do these staged false flag events like Sandy Hook and Las Vegas and all the ones going on in Florida. These are staged false flag terrorism events in order to get the American people to give up their firearms, their Second Amendment rights. And the people, and of course, the Pentagon has a $4 billion a year budget for propaganda, and these staged events go under propaganda. So you can see that the gang stalking thing is one component of a much larger system which employs actors and actresses of all kinds. And if you go online and you're looking for a job, as of course many young and middle-aged Americans are, and old-age Americans, you'll find a lot of jobs in this. Now, how many of these perps has got to be, well, okay, let me back off and say Obama, when he was campaigning, said we need a civil kind of a paramilitary force as large as the army in order to police our streets and make our country safe from terrorism, which, of course, is the lie, the phony boogeyman. And then the Department of Homeland Security formed in 2003, as we mentioned earlier, with a consultation from a Jewish guy named Marcus Wolf, who had formed the East German Stasi police also. They said in a 2003 article in the Boston Globe, we want to get 100 million Americans on board to help us in this war against terrorism. So they would be then the civilian spies, the citizen spies, much like the Stasi had civilian spies. One out of six East Germans were civilian spies under the Stasi in East Germany. And the DHS was targeting for one out of three. So that would mean, you know, over maybe 110 million. Can you imagine? That's a definition of hell. One out of three people in your countries walking around is a spy. You can't trust anybody. And that's, of course, exactly what happened to Germany, both East and West, with the Stasi and the Gestapo and with the Soviet Union. You can't trust your neighbor. You can't say anything, because if you do, you know, you're going to get reported by all the spies around you. And this is the what has happened to America, has degenerated into a totalitarian society. And the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, the DHS, all these agencies are making a lot of money, and they're paying out all this federal money also to these private subcontractors, these private security firms, private intelligence security firms, which are headed up by ex-CIA and ex-FBI. So a lot of people are making a lot of money on this. So that's the, you know, that's kind of the fuel behind it. This is what totalitarian governments do. So did you want to break in there? Anything?
I think that one thing that you just mentioned, I mean, it seems ridiculously high. One in three people in your country could be a spy. But folks, think about this. I mean, I'll give you an example. I used to go to like a meetup group locally a few years ago. But now I just wouldn't go to any groups like that where I don't know people. And, you know, people are going to be interested. Oh, who are you? What do you do? Oh, I run an alternative media show. And, you know, I'm against, I'm pro-Brexit. And I'm against the liberalism in our society. Oh, are you a racist? Are you a fascist? Are you a Nazi? You know, these sorts of things. And these people don't even realise that they're doing it, a lot of them. It's just what they've been indoctrinated into by their educational system, if they're of the younger group of society, because we know how communist that has been over the last few decades. Or they've just simply followed the mainstream media, and anyone who doesn't accept diversity or shows any resistance to it because they want to preserve their culture and heritage is evil. And when you think about it that way, you have to say to yourself that a lot of the people as well who are part of this one in three spies aren't necessarily aware that they are. They've just been brainwashed into it. So would you agree, Eric, that there's a difference between, say, those people and the actual paid gang stalkers themselves?
Yes, I would. And, you know, we're now in a very, very amazing era of artificial intelligence. MK Ultra, you know, the estimate is that they produced, you know, between 10 and 100 million fragmented, super spy type people, Manchurian candidates, people who went through satanic ritual abuse and were fragmented into you know, maybe hundreds of personalities, which then could be programmed and triggered to perform certain behaviors, like a Manchurian candidate would be an assassin or a sex slave like Marilyn Monroe, you know, and many people in Hollywood would, and in sports and in politics would fit this description. In other words, their personalities have been programmed and fragmented, much like a computer, even to the point where they may not have a coherent soul anymore. So this is all top secret stuff, or kept top secret, but now it's coming out. There are many films being made about it. So we might have 10 or 100, maybe 10 million or more Americans who are products of the MK Ultra Monarch mind control experiments, who can be programmed and triggered to do these kinds of things. And they can be triggered to go from one sub-personality or sub-alter to the next and not even remember what they did in, you know, when they were performing the behavior they wanted. Remember the 1953 mandate of MK Ultra that Alan Dulles, who was the CIA director, assigned into being in April 1953, is we want to find ways to get other people to do our bidding, even if it conflicts with their sense of self-interest, and even when it runs against such fundamental laws of nature as self-preservation. So, in other words, you want a bio-robot, you want a slave. And this is what the CIA has been doing. The more I discover things, the more I read, the more I learn. The CIA sold us out and took over the country back in the 60s, you know, with the assassination of Kennedy, King, and Malcolm X. And they've been running the country ever since. And this is a criminal organization that answers directly to, you know, the international bankers, the real power structure, the financial sector, the secret societies, the Satanists, the synagogue of Satan, as we discussed last time. But let me give you a quote by ex-CIA, ex-NSA, National Security Association, which is even bigger than the CIA, Bill Binney, who's one of the highest level whistleblowers on this topic, you know, like Edward Snowden and Julian Assange. There's a whole, you know, slew of information that's come out about, you know, our surveillance society. And Bill Binney was a cold warrior who wrote a lot of the computer programs that did the spying, you know, when the enemy was the Soviet Union and was foreigners. And then after 2001, when all of this technology that collected metadata on everybody was being applied to all Americans and even all civilians in the world, Bill Binney quit, and then he became a whistleblower. And I've got also on this, and I'll give you the link on this too, Andy. Here's one post I've got: ex-NSA's Bill Binney on Operation Stellar Wind, which is collect all the data on all Americans under George W. Bush. NSA's totalitarian global bulk data acquisition spying program: how NSA surveils you. And here's one of the quotes, and I kind of watch these things and then pick out what I think are the really nuggets. And here's one of the things he said. NSA decided that with bulk acquisition of data, U.S. citizens would be the first to have all their information collected. The rest of the world are now being treated like U.S. citizens. Moderator, in a recent London Guardian story, you said the NSA was surveilling its own population for, quote, totalitarian population control. Can you say that again in your own words? Binney, yes. It falls back to the principles of totalitarianism and how dictators have operated down through the centuries. It's know what your people are doing and find the ones who are not conforming to what you want them to do and then get rid of them. And that's fundamentally what this process does. So we're talking about a government which has turned on its own people, as we said in our last interview, which I think we very, you know, directly subtitled between two of us, Synagogue of Satan controlled governments are waging fourth generation war against we the people. This is the reality. And it is these agencies, of course, that are actually doing the heavy lifting. And according to Bill Binney, that, you know, they're getting a lot of money out of this. And they want the system. Of course, they are profiting from the system. And this is not only the military industrial complex that President Eisenhower warned us about in 1961. It's the military industrial congressional media university complex. One guy had a different acronym, MIMIC, military, industrial, media, intelligence complex. Yeah, I think that's a good one. But Benny has, you know, he's when you get into this stuff at the level I've gotten into it, Andy, you learn about how spy operations work somewhat. And so I'm working on, you know, a post on Spycraft 101. But one of the things they do is a limited hangout. And I think what Benny is doing is a limited hangout. There's a movie now made about him called Good American. And I started watching it last night. And yeah, Benny's a good American, but he is protecting the lie and the myth of 9/11 and the war on terrorism. So while he gives you a lot of truth, he also conceals, you know, stuff that's very important for the national security state, or as I'm calling it now, the mafia terrorist state. So that's what a limited hangout operation is, and that's what they're always doing. But here's going back to one of these YouTubes in the conversation that he has. Moderator, what occurs to me is there is a historical relationship between mass surveillance on a population and the crushing of dissent of that population. Can you explain that? Benny, well, that goes back to Caesar Augustus. Anybody that opposed him, you needed to know about it, first of all, and once that happened, it would disappear. The same was true of the Soviet Union or East Germany or with the Stasi. If you said anything out of line, you ended up in jail or in a sanitarium or something, or in a gulag somewhere. The same was true of the Nazis and the Gestapo and the SS. This is historically true. This is the way totalitarian states operate. And this gathering knowledge about people and the entire population is a totalitarian procedure. That's why I've been opposing it since they started it in 2001. So this is the domestic threat, he says, that our constitutional government and our the oaths of office that all of our government employees take, they take that to prevent this domestic threat from coming to pass. He says no other country in the world could have done to us what we have done to ourselves. Although, you know, I think there's more to it than that. This is a time when all good Americans need to stand up and oppose this. You have to be aware that these agencies are threatening what is fundamental to human rights everywhere, and you ensure that you have some way of verifying and keeping these agencies in line. Well, certainly it is the agencies, but they are the executioners of policies that are handed down from above. So, yeah, I mean, the 9/11 really was a watershed moment because, you know, the Patriot Act was rolled out, been written before, of course. The war was launched against Afghanistan within a month. Of course, the plans had been made beforehand. The Department of Homeland Security was rolled out a year later. NORTHCOM, the Northern Command, was rolled out the year later. For the military. And of course, the NORTHCOM is Canada, United States, and Mexico. And NORTHCOM defines the battle space as everywhere in North America. And they are so the battle space is in your hometown. You are the enemy. you, the American people, and you, the people of the world, because this is now global. He also makes the comment that the Five Eyes, who are the super spy nations, you know, of America, Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. He says there's actually 33 nations that are in the Five Eyes. And of course, Israel is among them. So this is the world we're living in with a shift now from reality to a kind of a phony reality, a fake reality of spies and actors. And it's most challenging, especially if you are unlucky enough to become a targeted citizen. Then they want to eliminate you using this system. And, of course, I've studied pretty hard about this system in the last couple, 3 years, and we have to do everything we can to expose it and to bring it down, because there's no hope for future freedoms if decent life in the future unless we do shine a light on this and bring it down.
I agree, but the problem that I have is how we do it. I mean, you and I, we're going out there. I mean, you've become a real expert in this field, among many others. But the people just aren't awake, and the more we try and get stuff out, the more we're getting shut down. I'm not trying to be defeatist here, but we've had this conversation before, and I think that you agree that it's really, we're looking at divine intervention helping us now, because it's gotten so bad that it's very difficult to see how even people, you know, TIs that are aware of being TIs, okay, they can't get any recourse by going to law enforcement. They get called kooks and what have you. So they're not believed. They can't seem to repel the attacks. They have to take, you know, drastic measures. Some of them, even if they're getting microwaved, they're living in Faraday cages and goodness knows what else. So from my point of view, I think that my role, if you like, is to get all sorts of information out on this show so people are aware of what's really going on that they're not being told in the mainstream media. But I still feel that the situation, as I said, is just beyond human redemption. Do you have any more positive view than that, Eric?
Well, I think what you say has a lot of, you know, a lot of merit to it. It could be that it's a runaway system. I mean, you look at the United States of America, right after World War II, the decision was made at the highest levels that we have to stay on a war economy in order to have a strong economy. And of course, the first casualty of war is what? The truth. And so, you know, my world, I'm 69 years old. I was born in 1949. I was one of the baby boomers. My world is just full of lies. And now that I've retired about 8 years ago from a 30-year teaching career at a university, at three universities, I have the chance, the time, and the energy still to find out, you know, where these lies came from, who, you know, and what they are. So, I mean, I could write, you know, I write a, you know, a series of books on all these lies that govern us, as we talked about last week. So, yeah, we are, you know, and of course, Satan is a liar and the father of lies, you know, and a murderer. So there you have the Department of Defense, you know, spiritually in league, certainly with Satan. This is the Department of Death. It's a satanic cult. And as they've become so powerful, you know, since World War II, the Department of Defense has had a bigger portion of the federal budget than all of the other corporate activity in the country combined. And that's the case now, where we have nearly an $800 billion budget for the Department of Defense, and then add to that all the intelligence agencies and all that stuff. So, yeah, we have sold our soul to Satan in the United States. Or should I say, our leaders have sold our country to Satan. They've sold the soul of America for us to Satan. In other words, they didn't give us a choice. And this is what animates me. This is what makes me furious, because, you know, given the choice, I would have voted no. You know, do I want to sell my soul to Satan? No. But many others, apparently, you know, including these perpetrators who I believe have and are selling their souls to do the work that they're doing, because it is very, very damaging to other human beings. I believe they are selling their souls. So, yeah, I mean, the extent of it now, we have to pray to God. Certainly we have to do what we can. But the Christians have been fooled and deceived, you know, with the Scofield Bible and John Nelson Darby and all this dispensationalism, support Israel, God will bless us if we bless Israel, all these revisions of the Bible so that our evangelical Christians, who are, you know, generally very sweet people, they've been duped. You know, so the deception, the net of deception across the United States and I'm sure other countries is almost overwhelming. But I think we have to have the faith to go forward to oppose it with the truth. I mean, I think in a head-to-head contest, the truth beats lies, but the lies have to be exposed. So that's hopefully what we're doing. And yes, we probably do need Jesus to return to make sense out of this. You know, we need that divine help, and we should be praying for that, actually, because the power now in the enemy's hands. He's got huge forces, you know, including these satanic super soldiers, you know, the transhumanist creatures, the man-machine creatures, and the other things that they have created. It's a very, very dark satanic system devoted to death and destruction. I mean, it didn't have to be that way. Humans don't have to organize their entire economic lives on the basis of killing other humans. But apparently Jay Gould's vision you know, was realized in the United States of America. So we have become Babylon. And the Whore of Babylon, I think you understand, and as well as I do, is Israel. But Israel is just a part of the much larger Zionist Jewish world takeover program, which is Satan's program. So we're firmly in the grip of that and the economic system they control, and they control us through the economic system. So, we're in a pickle. I guess we need to live the best lives we can on a day-to-day basis. Certainly that's true for me as a targeted citizen. But we also have to be, you know, what is the Bible phrase? Gentle as doves, but wise as serpents. You know, we have to see the lies. We have to call them. We have to we have to understand our enemy, and that's what most Americans do not understand, their enemy, and that's a crime. That's a sin. You know, it's a duty of all Roman citizens, they say, to understand who the enemy was. Americans don't know that the enemy is the fifth column, Judeo-Masonic Satanists who've taken control of our country. And that's what I hope we can get that message to the Americans, because there's a lot of good people who are deceived. And that includes this 65% who are duped into, you know, harming their fellows by authority figures. They're the people we need to talk to, because those people see themselves as good people, but they're duped. They're what Lenin called useful idiots. So we have to find a way to reach these people and say, look at what you're doing. You know, you think you're going after the terrorists. What you're doing is you're the terrorist. You're doing the terrorism. So maybe better stop doing that, you know? So that's where I'm coming from. You know, I don't know what else to do. I try to make contacts with other, I do make contacts with other targeted individuals or TIs, or they make contact with me. I hear heartbreaking stories from many. But there's also a lot of fake TIs out there, you know, because this is all part of the deception that is coming from the Pentagon and the intelligence agencies and the synagogue of Satan that controls the whole thing.
Yes, and we've got about just under 10 minutes left, Eric. And as we started off with the Stanley Milgram experiments, I would say that we've started off today with some of the origins of gang stalking, if you like. Are there any other origins that you'd like to throw in there? I know we've got a limited time, but you can run through them if you would like.
Well, I think we should return to the Stanley Milgram experiment, you know, in our last 10 minutes. Again, here was a guy who was a small Jewish guy from New York who found himself, I guess, as a professor of psychology at Yale. And, you know, his experiments were justified on the basis of, oh, those, you know, could anybody do those terrible things that the Nazis did to the Jews? Okay, so right in there, you know, there's your first lie. So again, you know, this guy has all kinds of academic credibility, wrote a book, and, you know, people have been studying his Milgram experiment ever since the 60s. But embedded in this is a whole series of lies that we need to call to the carpet. Okay, the first lie is that, you know, is that he's a nice guy and that he is, you know, concerned about human evil. Well, actually, what he's doing is he's found a way to set up a system which creates, but dupes people and creates more human evil. So this is sly like a snake. I mean, this is, you know, most Christians don't think like this. They, you know, myself included, I've had to learn to think in this very, very devious way. Like I said, be wise as serpents in the Bible, because our enemies are serpents. And so I have to study them. And this Stanley Milgram is a good example. But if we look at the whole psychology profession, of which he was, of course, part, it has been weaponized in order to do the will and the bidding of the power, the powerful forces that rule the country and the world, the state and the corporatocracy, the city of London, Wall Street, the secret societies, etc. So this then becomes a tool by which the state, especially the mafia state, the mafia terrorist state, which of course the United States and Russia are, can maintain control. And right on the very front page of my website, I've got a couple quotes about this. here's a book, The Breaking of Bodies and Minds, Torture, Psychiatric Abuse, and the Health Professions. Eric Stover was the editor in 1985. He says, the state, with the aid of psychiatrists, can effectively silence people who oppose its policies. State manipulation of psychiatry for political ends is a reality in many countries. And this is that's coming from Eric Stover's book, The Breaking of Bodies and Minds, Torture, Psychiatric Abuse, and the Health Professions. So the health professions, mental health professions are central to this. And here's coming from Robert Naislund, who was a Swedish guy who has been implanted and mind controlled since birth. He says, and yet he's managed to come back and study this. I've got him also on my website and YouTube's lectures. The brains can be stolen and raped. The authorities do it. In 1977, the New York Times published 30 articles about the CIA's brain control systems. The most important things brought to light were that this project had already begun in the late 1940s, and that with this technology, they had built a state within a state. Now, does that sound familiar to you, Andy, a state within a state?
Absolutely.
Who builds states within a state, right? Well, they've used this mind control, these techniques. Then this particular tribe, this fifth column group, has taken over America with these technologies. And then he says, Naislund says, in April 10, 1967, the New York Times editorial Push Button People discussed the ongoing mind control cybernetics experiments and warned about the dangers of this technology. They also mentioned that probably there were countries that already planned to subjugate their people using this technique. Both the U.S. and Sweden were countries that had far-reaching plans to subjugate citizens beyond their knowledge in brain control systems. Also, you should be aware that many of those that sit in the EU Parliament also have their brain incorporated into the Defense Department's supercomputer control systems. Of course, they become a type of puppets for the will of others. And then this guy goes on to say, this is, I really recommend this guy, Robert Naislund. I've got a couple YouTubes on my site by him, this Swedish guy who himself is a victim, but wound up with enough independence and brain power to become one of the experts on it. He says, throughout the history of mankind, there has never existed anything more totalitarian. There's never been anything more anti-democratic. A dictatorship can never be greater than when its citizens' brains are linked to computer control. The state has become a cannibal, a rapist who is eating its citizens, transforming us into biological, manipulable components. Of course, English is his second language. What happened during over 60 years of brain experimentation? Question mark. Which doctors, professors, what institutions have been involved in the most anti-democratic project that ever existed? By what kinds of methods has it been possible to keep it off the media and from people's attention? What is the role of the medical corporations? They are involved. FOIA's, FOI's, Sweden's DOD, DARPA, and America's NSA supercomputers must be turned off. We are all about to become the state's lab rats and chip-regulated behavior skulls. And then he makes a very interesting comment. The Phoenix program in Vietnam in 1970 used this same brain technology to identify and mass murder 33,000 civilians who were identified by the technology as Viet Cong sympathizers. Yeah, it's a CIA program. So now we know who the enemy is. And Bobby Fischer figured it out. It's the Jews and the CIA. But, you know, the CIA then becomes the kind of – the Jews are the puppet behind the CIA, or the puppet controller behind the CIA. And then the CIA is the puppet controller behind all these other agencies. So there it is. Bobby Fischer figured it out. Read about his quotes, because he was certainly one of the more brilliant guys to walk the planet, at least in the, you know, middle part of the 20th century. So yeah, this mind control stuff is huge. We have to learn about it. We have to turn off these supercomputers. We have to rein in these agencies which are supposed to serve the people. It's really a disagreement about who government serves. Does the government serve the elitist power structure that has the money and the power, or does the government serve the people? And our government was set up to serve the people. It has been stolen. It's simply a matter of naming the criminals, maybe giving them some form of, trial and appropriate punishment, and restoring government to the hands of the people. That's idealistic, I know. We probably need divine intervention, but we at least can work along those same tracks, those two tracks.
Well, thank you so much, Eric. Folks, what a wonderful show. Eric was completely unprepared. He's just got up where he is, and he turned in a performance like today. Before we go, could you please give the audience your websites once again, which will be linked to in the post for this show, Eric?
Yeah, my websites, especially we talked about gang stalking, mind control, cults, all one word, .com, 911nwo.com, Natural Climate Change, all one word, .com, San Luis Valley Water Watch .com, and my musical website, ericcarlstrom.com. So that's kept me busy in retirement. I hope I'm helping by shining a light in some dark places. I do believe in that humans are, capable of doing great things and as made in the image of God, but we have been hijacked by these dark forces. We need to stand together to combat and defeat them.
Absolutely. And folks, the ericcarlstrom.com website, we generally play some music of Eric's on our shows. We certainly will next time, but of course today's was rushed. I personally can recommend to you the Gospel Refrain CD, because I have my own copy, and it is a CD that I take the tracks, like when I download a show, they all go onto my phone, and that's how I listen to them. And regularly before I go to bed, I listen to that CD. I find it very calming. And I'm sure that a lot of you will like it, as recent songs that we've played from the show have been from that. But there's many other great albums and music tracks that you can get. And don't forget, Eric doesn't take donations. So the only way that you can really support his work is to buy some of his music. So go to ericcarlstrom.com. Eric, thank you so much for joining me again today, my friend.
Thanks so much, Andy. It's always great to talk to you. And I feel like we're really hitting our stride now, so God bless what you're doing, and you.
Absolutely, thank you so much. I want to thank all of you for listening. I will, of course, be back with you all tomorrow, and until then, folks, bye for now.
This has been the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show on Eurofolk Radio. To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize. You can support Andy's work by going to his website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, where his book, The Synagogue of Satan, is available in an updated, expanded, and uncensored edition.